Today is the 28th day of April. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It's great to be here with you today. Every day, it's great to be here together as we gather and take another step forward in the scriptures. And our next step forward leads us back into the book of Judges. And we have been working our way through the story of the judge named Gideon, which we will continue today. Judges chapter 8, verse 18 through 9, verse 21. He asked Zeba and Zalmunna, "What kind of men did you kill at Tabor?" "They were like you," they said. "Each resembled the son of a king." So he said, "They were my brothers, the sons of my mother. As the Lord lives, if you had let them live, I would not kill you." Then he said to Jether, his firstborn, "Get up and kill them." The youth did not draw his sword, for he was afraid because he was still a youth. Zeba and Zalmunna said, "Get up and strike us down yourself, for a man is judged by his strength." So Gideon got up, killed Zeba and Zalmunna, and took the crescent ornaments that were on the necks of their camels. Then the Israelites said to Gideon, "Rule over us, you as well as your sons and your grandsons, for you delivered us from the power of Midian." But Gideon said to them, "I will not rule over you, and my son will not rule over you. The Lord will rule over you." Then he said to them, "Let me make a request of you. Everyone give me an earring from his plunder." Now the enemy had gold earrings because they were Ishmaelites. They said, "We agree to give them." So they spread out a cloak, and everyone threw an earring from his plunder on it. The weight of the gold earrings he requested was 43 pounds of gold, in addition to the crescent ornaments and ear pendants, the purple garments on the kings of Midian, and the chains on the necks of their camels. Gideon made an ephod from all this and put it in Ophrah, his hometown. Then all Israel prostituted themselves by worshiping it there, and it became a snare to Gideon and his household. So Midian was subdued before the Israelites, and they were no longer a threat. The land had peace for 40 years during the days of Gideon. Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, son of Joash, went back to live at his house. Gideon had 70 sons, his own offspring, since he had many wives. His concubine, who was in Shechem, also bore him a son, and he named him Abimelech. Then Gideon, son of Joash, died at a good old age and was buried in the tomb of his father Joash in Ophrah of the Abiezerites. When Gideon died, the Israelites turned and prostituted themselves by worshiping the Baals and made Baal Berith their god. The Israelites did not remember the Lord their God, who had rescued them from the hand of the enemies around them. They did not show kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, that is, Gideon, for all the good he had done for Israel. Abimelech, son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem and spoke to his uncles and to his mother's whole clan, saying, "Please speak in the hearing of all the citizens of Shechem. Is it better for you that 70 men, all the sons of Jerubbaal, rule over you, or that one man rule over you? Remember that I am your own flesh and blood." His mother's relatives spoke all these words about him in the hearing of all the citizens of Shechem, and they were favorable to Abimelech, for they said, "He is our brother." So they gave him 70 pieces of silver from the temple of Baal Berith. Abimelech used it to hire worthless and reckless men, and they followed him. He went to his father's house in Ophrah and killed his 70 brothers, the sons of Jerubbaal, on top of a large stone. But Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, survived because he hid. Then all the citizens of Shechem and of Bet-Milo gathered together and proceeded to make Abimelech king at the oak of the pillar in Shechem. When they told Jotham, he climbed to the top of Mount Gerizim, raised his voice, and called to them. Listen to me, citizens of Shechem, and may God listen to you. The trees decided to anoint a king over themselves. They said to the olive tree, "Reign over us." But the olive tree said to them, "Should I stop giving my oil that people use to honor both God and men and rule over the trees?" Then the trees said to the fig tree, "Come and reign over us." But the fig tree said to them, "Should I stop giving my sweetness and my good fruit and rule over trees?" Later, the trees said to the grapevine, "Come and reign over us." But the grapevine said to them, "Should I stop giving my wine that cheers both God and man and rule over trees?" Finally, all the trees said to the bramble, "Come and reign over us." The bramble said to the trees, "If you really are anointing me as king over you, come and find refuge in my shade. But if not, may fire come out from the bramble and consume the cedars of Lebanon. Now, if you have acted faithfully and honestly in making Abimelech king, if you have done well by Jerubbaal and his family, and if you have rewarded him appropriately for what he did, for my father fought for you, risked his life, and rescued you from Midian, and now you have attacked my father's family today, killed his 70 sons on top of a large stone and made Abimelech, the son of his slave woman, king over the citizens of Shechem, because he is your brother. So if you have acted faithfully and honestly with Jerubbaal in his house this day, rejoice in Abimelech, and may he also rejoice in you. But if not, may fire come from Abimelech and consume the citizens of Shechem and Bet-Milo. And may fire come from the citizens of Shechem and Bet-Milo and consume Abimelech." Then Jotham fled, escaping to Beer, and lived there because of his brother Abimelech. Luke 23:44 through 24:12. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3, because the sun's light failed. The curtain of the sanctuary was split down the middle, and Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit." Saying this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what happened, he began to glorify God, saying, "This man really was righteous." All the crowds that had gathered for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, went home striking their chests. But all who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. There was a good and righteous man named Joseph, a member of the Sanhedrin, who had not agreed with their plan and action. He was from Arimathea, a Judean town, and was looking forward to the kingdom of God. He approached Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Taking it down, he wrapped it in fine linen and placed it in a tomb cut into the rock where no one had ever been placed. It was the preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed along and observed the tomb and how his body was placed. And they returned and prepared spices and perfumes, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. So the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Asked the men. He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, It is necessary that the Son of Man be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day? And they remembered his words. Returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them were telling the apostles these things. But these words seemed like nonsense to them, and they did not believe the women. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. When he stooped to look in, he saw only the linen cloths. So he went away amazed at what had happened. Psalm 99. The King is holy. The Lord reigns. Let the people tremble. He is enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awe-inspiring name. He is holy. The mighty King loves justice. You have established fairness. You have administered justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God. Bow in worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel also was among those calling on his name. They called to the Lord and he answered them. He spoke to them in a pillar of cloud. They kept his decrees and the statutes he gave them. Lord our God, you answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their sinful actions. Exalt the Lord our God. Bow in worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. Proverbs 14, 9 and 10. Fools mock at making reparation, but there is goodwill among the upright. The heart knows its own bitterness, and no outsider shares in its joy. Okay, so in the book of Judges today, we do indeed come to the end of Gideon, the judge of Israel, his life. But before all of that, the Israelites came and attempted to make Gideon and his family the leaders over the tribes due to his leadership and his victory over Midian. Gideon refused. Gideon refused that he would be leader, that any of his sons would be leader. It was the Lord who would lead them. And then they had peace for 40 years. And then Gideon died. And then it's just like, immediately they switch gears and go in another direction. And so the Bible tells us that as soon as Gideon died, the Israelites started to prostitute themselves by worshiping Baal. Baal Berith became their god, and they forgot the God who had rescued them from the Midianites. And then to kind of just take things another level, Gideon had 70 sons. One of his sons was named Abimelech. He was born of a concubine of Gideon in the city of Shechem. And so he goes and asks the people of Shechem who are wanting to appoint a leader, shouldn't he be their leader, basically? He's one of them. He's their own flesh and blood. He's a real brother of theirs. Shouldn't he be the leader? And they basically say, yeah, you should be the leader. And so what ensues is that Abimelech goes and tries to assassinate, kill all of his actual brothers. Like, destroy the whole family of his father, Gideon. And only the youngest one escaped. Like, this is a picture of unbelievable injustice after what God had done for them. But if we're talking injustice, then we just flip over to the Gospel of Luke and we see it on full display by looking upon a Savior nailed to a cross, dying. And obviously this is the Easter story, the story of the passion of Jesus and his death and burial and resurrection, all of which we read about today. And so we should have enormous joy in our hearts at having the opportunity to see this story come around once again and remind us of our salvation. But we can also see just what was going on, because the Gospels tell us they're confused. The women go to the tomb. They don't know what's going on. Some men tell them he's not here. He's among the living. And they go back and tell the apostles. And then Peter runs to the tomb because the apostles had all heard the women and thought that they were talking nonsense. And so Peter goes and sees that the tomb is empty and is amazed. And they have to believe, as we do, that what the Gospel of Luke tells us, he isn't here, he is risen from the dead, is true. Imagine when they began to believe that. Even though they had been told that, when they began to believe that, and when they began to be able to see that, imagine the hope that came out of complete hopelessness. And may we remember that the same hope in the face of hopelessness is available to all of us. And may we spend this day as a day of gratitude, continually being reminded of our rescue and continually offering gratitude to Jesus for that rescue in the face of profound injustice. Life sprang forth and changed the world, and we are the recipients of this as our lives are transformed. And so we have moved through this territory in the Gospel of Luke, which leaves but one more gospel for us. We've experienced this story 3 out of the 4 times that we get to. And so let's spend some time today immersing ourselves in the fact that we were hopelessly lost and we were rescued when we didn't deserve it. And now our lives are spent revealing the good news to all who will hear that rescue is available, that there is a better way. And so, Father, we invite you into that. Holy Spirit, plant this reality deep in the soil of our hearts. May it be unshakable. May we cling to it. Our hope is in you. We are utterly dependent upon you. And we ask that you lead us into all truth today as we consider and meditate upon the fact that you came for us to rescue us and you were victorious. And all we need to do is believe you, and we do. And so lead us, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com, that is home, and that is where you can find out what's going on around here. And you can also download the Daily Audio Bible app free from whatever app store is connected to your smart device. And that puts everything about Daily Audio Bible there in the palm of your hand. So check that out. Check out the different sections, like the community section. This is where to get connected. And the different social media channels that we participate in. That's great to follow along so that announcements and stuff like that can come your way. It's also the home of the prayer wall. The prayer wall lives there, and that's an always on, never off resource that's available to us. No matter what's going on, no matter what's happening in our lives, we can go and share our story and ask our brothers and sisters to pray. And so be familiar with that. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if the mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered to anyone who will listen anywhere, anytime, if that has been life-giving to you, then thank you profoundly and humbly for your partnership. There wouldn't be a global campfire if we weren't throwing logs on together. And so thank you humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello. I'm a fairly new listener. You can call me Early Bird if no one is using that already. I've been giving myself whiplash trying to decide to call in or not, but there were a few people who called in that felt like little nudges. So here we are. I have just felt like so many things in my life are currently on fire that I get overwhelmed just trying to think of what to ask for prayer for, if that makes sense. But I feel nudged to just start, just do something instead of waiting to feel better able to articulate my requests. I don't want to feel like I'm always waiting on something to finally feel better or be better and miss out on living. All of this to say, I had to quit my job before having a plan ironed out due to it becoming a very unhealthy environment, but I also run an animal rescue out of my home, and my income was basically funding everything. So I have all these lives that I'm responsible for and only a couple of months worth in my savings to get something figured out. My second request is prayer for sleep. My sleep aid that I've used for years recently stopped working, and I've probably slept 6 hours in the past 3 days, and I've also been sick, and so my body aches, and I'm constantly miserable. So yes, I would appreciate your prayers.
Hello, Brian and Daily Audio Bible family. I am a longtime listener, off and on. And when I've been off, so it's really good to be back in the house of the Lord with people who are moving toward being better versions of themselves. Today I was listening to the book of Joshua, as you read through on April 13th, I believe, talking about Achan taking the gold and how we have to choose who we're going to serve. We're going to either serve God or whatever else distraction in our lives are. And for me, that happened through the lens of adultery. And I made a huge mistake that is impacting my family. It's impacting me and my children. And of course, it's mostly impacting my wife the hardest. And so I'm calling for prayer. This happened quite a bit ago, over a year ago. And it's just now coming out. And there hasn't been any contact. I cut off all contact. I've been seeking the Lord and trying to turn right what I turned wrong. And it's not easy. And this is my first time calling, although I've known about you for the entire 18 years. And I just really need prayer. And not only to get past this, but to really understand deep within me what caused this trauma and how I got to be in this place, because I'm trying to figure it out. But I appreciate everybody. I appreciate the prayers, and thank you so much for the opportunity to have folks alongside you in prayer. And again, I'm sorry to my family, to my wife, and so on and so forth. Thank you.
Hey, DAB, it's Jay from the Bay. Victoria from Louisiana. Thank you. God, I'm going to cry. Thank you so very much for your prayers for my little brother Nick and everybody else to whom which called. Victoria, my mom, boo-hoo, cried, and I just told her you have to give it to God. Nonetheless, I'm asking for prayers again for my little brother. As we all know, he was shot. He's doing okay. The detectives believe that his friend shot him. He's saying that it was three men in total, including my little brother. So they don't know if it was the friend or the friend's friend that shot him. But nonetheless, I'm just asking for prayers for him, because even though he was shot and doctor said like it could have went a smidge to the left or the right and he would have been dead, he's not taking it serious. He never wore the sling. He's still hanging out with these boys, considering him as friends since they grew up together. And just, I don't know. We got into an argument this week and I had to ask God for forgiveness, but I just had to give it to God. I even though I'm the big sister, I can't deal with this and I can't keep allowing my mom to deal with it. So I told him, like, I'm done. If you want to throw your life away, go for it. I'll continue to pray for you. But there's absolutely no reason why he should be acting like this. My mom and his dad did a great job at raising him and made sure that we had every and anything that we can ask for. Whether it was when we asked for it or delayed, we still got it. So I just want to ask if you guys could keep him in your prayers or in your thoughts, and his friends and even the one who shot him. I just keep praying for them all. Thank you. I love you all so much, and I hope you all have a blessed day.
This is Tom from Texas. I'm in desperate ways. I'm in a place I've never been before. The last several years, just going down and down and down. Wife divorced. Kids don't have much of anything to do with me. Siblings, family, even all my supposedly close friends aren't around. I'm completely alone. Even God seems far away. I know He has me, but He doesn't seem to be speaking or giving me any guidance. Physical health has gone down the last couple of years. Things have happened. Not even working. Seems like everything's been taken away. Can't figure out why. Is it me and my sin? Is it just attacks of the devil? But I am alone, hanging on, reading God's word every day, praying, wondering what I'm supposed to be doing.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible family. Thank you for all your lovely prayer requests and prayers and blessings and care for each other. And thank you, Brian and family, for the continued faithfulness of this amazing audio Bible program. Just want to ask a few things, because although there's so many needs, Jesus says, ask and you'll receive. So we just have to ask, and when we agree, there's something special happens. So I just ask for your blessing on my family situation. My wife is in a psychiatric unit. My daughter is just about to be discharged from an eating disorder unit and coming home. My wife's mother, my mother-in-law, has cancer and has just developed a blood clot on her lung. So I pray that you would heal my wife's, she had a nervous breakdown really over our daughter's situation. We would heal her, and you'd heal our daughter, and you'd heal my mother-in-law, and that your peace would be with her, as she's 80 something and nearing, you know, not that long. But I just pray that you, you know, basically agree with me in prayer. And I pray that everyone would be blessed who listens to this, and that Jesus would shower everybody with his blessings, and we'd all keep abiding in him, the vine, getting our strength from him. In Jesus' name, amen.